Today's sponsor is Text Help, the makers of RyQ. I'll tell you more at the end of the show how the free app RyQ can help you save time and effort when scoring student writing. How to Build Great Teachers, Episode 184.
The 10-Minute Teacher Podcast with Vicki Davis. Every weekday, you'll learn powerful, practical ways to be a more remarkable teacher today.
How do we build great teachers? Today, we're talking with thought leader Dan Brown about this topic. So, Dan, how do we build great teachers?
Building a great teacher takes a village, and it takes a lot of time. I think any kind of instant remedies or quick fixes or like three steps to being a great teacher type of guidance is kind of dangerous, because teaching is such a complex job. It's really professional work, and it requires a really serious body of craft knowledge and skills. So starting early with Educators Rising, we start helping high school students explore teaching. I think is really valuable, but anyone at any point when they're starting their journey should really be grounding their practice in getting a lot of clinical hands-on experience, being grounded in best research, and really taking seriously that it's a long journey before you're able to be that exemplar teacher that you've always dreamed to be.
And it really is a journey. So when you have that teaching certificate and when you graduate, you're not necessarily have the great teacher stamp on you yet, do you?
Definitely not. And it can be tricky, because in a lot of schools, rookie teachers are given the exact same course load or workload as a 30-year veteran. So they may feel like they have to perform at that level of an accomplished, you know, experienced teacher. And of course, their toolbox of skills and knowledge and experience is just starting to be built. So no, there should be a quest as a lifelong learner, and a willingness to seek out constructive criticism and build a network of critical friends, and really seek to be transparent about your own practice and how you can get better, and celebrate your successes too.
But you know, Dan, I know in a lot of schools, the rookie teachers actually get the worst classes.
Yeah, that's a really kind of pervasive, unfortunate trial by fire concept that is out there, where rookie teachers may be kind of looked at as, you know, sink or swim, meat for the grinder, kind of pick your idiom, of not really being valued out of the gate as prized community asset. And it is a challenge. And that's why when folks are looking for their first teaching job, it's essential to really scout the principal and make sure you're going into a functional environment where you have a principal that will really help nurture your development and not put you into the toughest possible context when you're the least experienced.
Oh, we could talk about that forever, because how do you tell if there's a functional environment? Because sometimes, you know, some people talk a good game.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, it's hard to tell from the internet how a school environment and school culture really is. You know, you got to ask really probing questions. You got to, you know, try to get candid opinions from folks that work at the school or have worked at the school, maybe outside of the formal interview process. And then really trust your instincts when you do meet with that school leader. If your radar is pinging that something is really kind of off here, don't look past it.
We're talking about how to build great teachers, but when you build a great teacher, aren't you constantly building and rebuilding yourself?
Definitely. And teaching needs to have more sort of ladders and lattices within the profession so that teachers can lead without leaving. I mean, a lot of times the only opportunity for a promotion from being a classroom teacher is to leave classroom teaching altogether. So this is where the Center for Teaching Quality has done great work on teacher leadership, advancing the concept of teacherpreneurs, hybrid roles. There's more and more states and districts that are looking at how to divvy up teachers' time and responsibilities, so they're not every single year loaded up with the exact same course load, same number of prep, because absolutely people burn out. And there's research about how that career arc can really plateau 5+ years in unless you give people opportunity to really activate their passion and spread their instructional expertise and their skills.
Let's back up. We've talked about that we need to keep learning. We've talked about, you know, when you get out of college, you're not quite there yet and you need to be in the classroom. But how can colleges do a better job of preparing successful teachers?
Well, this is controversial, but I really support the EdTPA, which is a performance-based assessment. It's sort of like a mini national board certification portfolio that a number of states are requiring students to demonstrate their competency on, where you know you You demonstrate evidence, videos of yourself doing student teaching, so that you, and it's scored by accomplished assessors, kind of like a bar exam for teaching. I think if colleges of teacher education can, you know, embrace this concept of the profession having an independent verifier of, yes, you're ready, I think that may help raise the bar for ensuring that instruction that happens at the College of Teacher Education is really practical, relevant, and clinical based.
Why do you think this is so controversial?
Yeah, I think for a long time, colleges and universities have been kind of like, you know, fiefdoms of deciding who is going to go forward into the teaching profession. So this would be an outside arbiter, which, infringes on turf issues and can be threatening to some. And there's an expense. So, you know, becoming a licensed teacher, there's a lot of costs for licensure exams. And this also costs money. In some places, it's underwritten by third parties. But it's tough for young people that want to be teachers to be taking on debt. There are policy solutions to that. I mean, I don't think aspiring public servants should have to pay out of pocket. Certainly in high-achieving countries outside of the U.S., aspiring teachers don't have to take on debt. Their education is subsidized. But at TPA, there is a cost to do it, which, you know, invites pushback.
Well, and you know, we teachers are talking about all the time, you can't really measure knowledge from a test. I would argue you really can't measure whether somebody can teach from a test. I mean, would you?
Not a paper test, no. And I mean, an EdTPA is one instrument, but this is a portfolio-based assessment where you're submitting lesson plans, videos, tapes of yourself teaching, reflective commentary, artifacts that you've cultivated from your student teaching, scored against a really rigorous profession-developed rubric. So, yeah, it's one assessment would never be holistic enough to encompass all of what teaching involves. But I think it's one key piece of elevating, raising the bar for the profession and helping to grow teachers that have that baseline of competence on day one. I think this is one part of that puzzle.
The whole point is it's not just a test. It's performance-based, right?
Precisely.
Dan, we've covered a lot of bases here on how to build great teachers. Could you give a 1-minute pep talk to those whose job it is, whether they're curriculum director or a principal at a school who's trying to help teachers become better, or a college professor who's really trying to help teachers become better, of what they need to be doing to help create amazing teachers?
Well, overwhelmingly, there's really compelling market research that what young people and early career professionals want most out of their job is impact. Of course, teaching supplies that. And then there's NEA research that the number one reason that people join teaching and the number one reason they stay in teaching year after year is to work with young people. So that craving to have an impact and to work closely with young people is at the core of what fires up people who want to teach. So to ensure that those opportunities are facilitated when pre-service and early service teachers, that they get to have moments of success, that they want to do a good job, they may feel overwhelmed by the work, but to be able to facilitate and celebrate successful early moments, no matter how small, is to create rocket fuel for those young developing teachers. And it can be a real grind being a new teacher. You feel overwhelmed, you feel like a failure. So anything that veterans and nurturers of the village can do to help those early career teachers really see and dissect and understand their moments of success and promise and potential, I think will fire them up to believe in their ability to earn that impact and go forward and be great for the long term.
And that's so very true, because I think back my first day of teaching, and I didn't come to teaching from the teaching side, I came from the business world, but my mom and my sister were teachers. And at the end of my first day, I remember they brought me like this, I'll call them prizes. I mean, it was like a card and some other goodies to celebrate. It's like, you made it through the end of your first day. We're so excited for you. And it was like, I felt like doing the touchdown sign, because they made me feel victorious that I had done something which was very hard and very overwhelming, but they celebrated that. And I love the celebrate the small wins with new teachers. And I think this is something that all of us at our school should ask ourselves. Are we helping our new teachers celebrate those small wins?
Precisely. And that celebration that they provided for you your first day, you remember all these years later, it made a big difference.
15 years later. In fact, I don't know if I would have stayed if I hadn't had all that encouragement the first year, because I think every book, every mistake in the book, I made it, and even some not in the book that I will not admit to.
And there's a great report from TNTP from four or five years ago called The Irreplaceables, about how just even a small gesture to give a thumbs up to a hardworking teacher can be the difference between their leaving and staying.
Love that. So, teachers, we have encouragement to help build great teachers. All of us can help build great teachers because we can all encourage other teachers. And that is remarkable. RIQ from TextHelp is a new free add-on for Google Docs that helps teachers easily assess student writing and track progress over time by automatically scoring students' spelling, punctuation, and grammar errors. It also incorporates rubrics so teachers can provide meaningful, qualitative feedback to encourage the writing journey. This handy, free Google Docs add-on tracks things like time spent writing, spelling, grammar, and punctuation error rates, and pulls it into a clear graphical view in your teacher dashboard. To learn about RIQ, go to www.texthelp.com/RIQ. That is www.texthelp.com/RIQ. Start using RIQ today to assess writing. It's free.
Thank you for listening to the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast. You can download the show notes and see the archive at coolcatteacher.com/podcast. Never stop learning.